faith, I was kind of brought up the same way that she was, that, you know, you had a little track, you took a little track with you, and you shared that little track with that person, and you shared with them about Christ, and kind of went through the gospel story, and that was good, and it can be good, but a lot of us are very, you know, can be very nervous about doing that, or apprehensive about doing that. And what this course was teaching is just basically, just be yourself. Just be yourself. And when there's an opportunity for you to share about your faith and why, you know, you serve God, why you go to church, that you're ready to tell them. And so it makes it just a whole lot easier and helps us to fulfill that commission that we are to go out and to declare the gospel. So we as a church, we want to be active and sharing our faith. We want to be a people that do talk about Jesus. After all, if we're Christians, we should be talking about Jesus. It should be part of our conversations. Whenever we're around people or with people, talking about Jesus, it should come up because that's who we are. I really like Daniel's comeback, that person. Well, am I a project or am I a person? And then when she had the opportunity to turn the tables back on the person and say, well, are you considering me a project or a person? Because you're going to treat me as a person, then faith is part of who I am. And so I thought that was a pretty neat little comeback. Our vision as a church is definitely to be outward bound, to lead people in a transforming love of Christ, with that mission to fill the Great Commission, reach out to teach people, to love on people. And that's something that's very important to us, and it's something that for every Christian should also be important, because it's something that God commands us all to do. Now, it's kind of interesting as I've been looking and seeing, there's been a lot of religious organizations and preachers that have been really pushing sharing our faith in our nations, and especially here in Canada, United States. There's really been a resurgence, a message coming out to our church to say, you know what, this is something that we've neglected. It's something that we've kind of been maybe just leaving it to the church as a whole to do and kind of taking our own personal responsibility away of our job to reach out and to touch people. You know, it's easy to talk about a church. Well, what's the church doing? Well, let's put it back to ourselves. What are you doing? What are you doing to reach people for Jesus Christ? What are you doing about inviting people to your church? And because sometimes, you know, we that responsibility gets thrown on the church when we are the church. We're the body, and we're the ones that are called to do that job. You will note that our district has been very heavily involved in these last 2 years of going around to various churches, doing seminars on church growth, doing seminars on, you know, how can we be better witnesses? How can we do a better job of sharing our faith? And we've had our superintendent, Gary Tager, here. We had Jeremiah here a few times. And we've done some seminars. And I know not everyone's been able to make those, but we've been trying to join in with what they're doing. And then there's been other groups that have been doing seminars and encouraging people to share your faith. And then we have Alpha Program. The Alpha Program is just a program that introduces people to Jesus Christ. And they're the ones that were behind this particular video that we just watched. And they're really concentrating on this endeavor to again, inspire Christians to share their faith. And, you know, there's some real good reasons why I think that is happening. I think there's a realization that is hitting us as Christians, especially in North America, that we're really not doing our job as Christians. See, in Canada, the church is in decline big time. The only thing that has kind of helped us, the church remain kind of having some an influence in our society, is that we've had a lot of immigrants have come into our country, and there's been a lot of those immigrants have been Christians. And that has kind of boosted up some numbers and kind of gave us a false security that we're doing a better job than what we really are. But that's what's been happening in Canada. And more Canadians are coming to the conclusion that faith doesn't matter. And we're seeing Christians leave the church. And when we do see growth, it's often growth that comes from what they call transfer growth. It means that they used to go to a church over here, and now they're going to a church here. And how do we know that's happening? Well, when you get to the end of the year, and you do your denominational things and you count the numbers all up. And even though they're saying, oh, this church is growing, that church is growing, and you look at the total, it's the same. Same number. Or if you look at Statistics Canada and you look at how many Christians there are in Canada, you'll see after the year's total's all done, same. And so really what's been happening, there's been a lot of shuffling going on. And there's been a cry that's coming out, which I believe needs to be a cry, that we need to get out there and do our job as individual Christians. Our province of Alberta has seen a decline in Christianity. There's been a lot of churches, even in our own denominations, because of the economy, that people have moved away, and churches have either had to close down or join together with another church just to keep operating. And if you don't think that's having an effect on our church, just even in our own community, our enrollment rates in our schools right now, I believe, are the lowest they've been in 25 years. And you talk to a lot of business people, they are very worried about our future and what is going to be happening here. And I think in Canada, I think as Christians, part of it, I think we've been leaving it to the bigger church to do that job for us, to reach out, to touch people, or even leaving it to our crusades or conferences or barbecues or whatever you want to do, those things. We've kind of been leaving that. That's my method of evangelism, and all those things are good. But it still does not replace the fact of how we can touch an individual ourselves. And I think it's time for Canada to wake up and see how far we have fallen away from what God has called us all to do. And I believe there's a fresh call to the nation. I believe there's a harvest that is coming, even though we haven't really been doing our job. I believe there is a harvest coming. And the Lord is trying to get a call out there to prepare us to be ready, because people are ready to respond. And if we would start doing our job, we're going to start seeing people come in and see those multitudes come to Christ. Kind of an interesting little study I've been reading in one of the books I've been looking at. And it talks about people that come to church for the first time. It tells us that only 16% of first-time visitors will return to the church. And so that's not a real good statistic. But it is the truth, and that includes even if we make all kinds of changes, do all kinds of different things to try to make people feel welcome, it's still at 16%. It's not really that great. But also, if you do further go down that study, and when it changes from just a person showing up in church to a person that has been invited and that you bring along to church, that statistic changes from 16% to 86%. And so if we really want to reach people, if we really want to see our churches filled to overflowing, then it comes down to us as individuals that we have a job to do. And that job, as we minister individually, has a far greater effect than just, you know, these big broadcasts that we can put out there to get people to come in. So 86%, big difference. And so I really think God is calling us as Christians here in Canada to prioritize sharing our faith as individuals. And the best way for evangelism has always been the same, actually. It's still one-on-one. Still the best way. You can have your crusade, you can have your conferences, you can have all those things, and those things are good, and we like doing those things too. But the greatest way, the greatest response, the greatest impact will be you touching somebody personally. So that's something that really should speak to us, and that the cry of our own heart should be, God, help me to be more invitational. Help me to be more prepared, more ready, more focused, that I just might share my story. I don't have to, you know, bring my Bible and give them, you know, go through all these points and all through these lectures. Just be yourself. And just kind of start talking about why you're a Christian, what God has done in your life. So it's something that's very important. It's also something that's commanded. You heard that in the video as Danielle was sharing. And she referred to the Great Commission, which is found in Matthew 28, 18 to 20. And it says that Jesus came and told his disciples, "I have been given all authority in heaven and on earth. Therefore, go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I have given you. And be sure of this, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." And so that's a commission that's really being spoken to all Christians, all of us. To some extent, we need to share our faith. And, you know, I know there's some people that are really gifted in that area, and they have the gift of gab, and they can talk to anybody. They're not shy. And then there's other of us that may be on the shyer side. But no matter what our makeup is, we all can still share and tell people why we're a Christian, or why is our life different, why we do things differently. And so this commission, it tells us where to go, that we're actually the sent ones. We're sent out by Christ to share the gospel, that Jesus Christ is the truth, he is the life, that he is the way. All authority has been given to him. There is no one in greater authority than Jesus. Our world doesn't like to hear those kinds of statements, but it is the truth. And we need to be telling people that, no, maybe you've heard something else, but this is what the Bible says. He's given all authority in heaven and earth. And we as his believers are to be his messengers, literally to be ambassadors for Christ and to tell the world about Jesus Christ. And that can, you know, start from just sharing a story, or that can be praying with somebody. That can be maybe inviting someone to your home or having a meal together. And then eventually, you know, maybe you get to invite them to church. Maybe you get to share more with them. But it's just basically establishing some relationships. This commission is also something that requires action, movement, activity. We just can't keep our Christianity silent or sit back and think somebody else is going to do it for us. And most times as Christians, we're hoping the church building is going to do it for us. And all the things that the church said, that's going to do our evangelism. And that does draw people in. But the greatest statistic, 86% success rate, is when we do it as individuals. So that's something that's very important. As well, the commission calls us to make disciples. Disciples are followers of God. And we're to teach and train and love in these people, to equip people to be followers of Jesus. And we don't need any more nominal Christians. There's enough of those in our world. We need active Christians, committed Christians that will follow in the ways of God all the way. And it's not always easy being a Christian, not always easy being a disciple. And I think sometimes we water down what a Christian is so much that basically anybody qualifies. And that's not the truth. If you're going to be a disciple of Christ, that's a pretty significant change in one's life. It says, if you want to be my disciple, you better be prepared to give up everything that you have. Everything. If you're not willing to give up everything, Jesus says, you can't be my disciple. He goes on to say, if you're not prepared to give up your family, your mother, your father, your friends, you can't be my disciple. Now, that doesn't mean that all those things are going to happen, that you're going to have to give up all of those things. It's just saying that it might happen. If you're going to make a choice to be a disciple of Christ, there may be some things you're going to lose. There may be some things you're going to have to give up. And that's part of being a disciple of Christ. Sometimes these things do happen. And it can be very hard and difficult. But we need to prepare people for that. That no matter what sacrifices we may have to make, we're to teach people, don't be just a believer, but be a disciple. A person that is willing to give up everything to follow Jesus Christ. That's being what a disciple is. And then the commission then goes on to tell us we need to lead believers into this place of water baptism. And we showed you that little video there as well today. It's just basically an outward sign of an inward work. You're going through those waters of baptism just showing what has happened. That, you know what, I invited Jesus Christ into my life. He's taken my old, I'm burying that old life behind me. I'm rising up to newness of life. You're just kind of symbolizing what has taken place in your life, and it's being a testimony that you're going to take this Christianity part seriously, because you're going to testify to everybody in front of you by your very act of water baptism that you're choosing to follow Jesus Christ. This is not a water, an infant baptism. We're talking about people that can make a choice themselves to choose, I will follow Jesus Christ. Also, this commission says we're to teach. And it's interesting, he says we're to teach obedience. And again, in our society today, we've really taken our Christianity and we've watered it down so much that basically anybody can qualify to be a Christian. But Jesus is telling, part of that commission is go and teach. And part of the teaching that we're to teach is that there's some areas that you need to choose obedience over. These things are not optional. So much of Christianity today, we consider, oh, this is optional. You don't really need to have to do this. Yes, you do. If the Bible says you need to do something, then you need to do it. Well, we don't like rules. Well, I'm sorry. There's some rules in the Bible. And matter of fact, there's a lot of rules out there in your schools. There's some rules in your workplace. There's rules everywhere. So don't go down that path with me, because there's rules everywhere. The Bible has some rules. And it calls us that we're to obey the commands of Christ. And so that's something we need to be teaching, to tell people that, you know what, the Word of God is very important to us. And it's not just some book that we, you know, bring out on Sunday or we put up on the screen and so we can see a great scripture verse. No, this is something we need to be into it daily. We really need to know this book. You know, I think in Christianity today, we're blessed with so much teaching. And we listen to these podcasts and we read all these books and a lot of wonderful things there. But friends, I want to tell you, podcasts and books do not replace the Word of God. You still need the Word of God. You still need to take that time for yourself to get into the Word of God, that you might know what the Word of God actually says. Because there's lots of speakers out there, all they're doing is preaching their ideas. They're not preaching anything from the Word of God at all. And so we need to know the difference. Obey the Word of God. A true believer will want to obey the Word of God. And it needs to be a big deal in our lives. That obedience to God is something that we would consider important. And that's what we need to teach as part of the Great Commission. And also, last part of that Great Commission, I find it rather interesting, where the Lord's talking about all these things we need to do. And then he says, and also go out there and teach, the Lord is with you. The Lord is with you. And that's kind of like, I bet you those disciples were probably responding just like many of us and say, oh, I don't know. I don't know if I can do all this. That's not my personality. And we kind of go through all these little excuses that we have. And the Lord's saying, listen, I'm going to be with you in this. You're not alone in this. And that's something we need to realize. Like, I love watching that video of Danielle as she's sharing about her terrible job that she did of sharing her faith. And yet, the person responded. Why? Because she wasn't doing it alone. The Lord is with her. And you need to realize that too, that the Lord is with you. And yeah, you can do a terrible job, and yet God can still make a revelation take place for somebody, even if we do a terrible job. And that's kind of a great thing to know. But this commission is something that God calls all of us to do. And I really believe there's a fresh call to the church, even in Canada, that we would look at ourselves and ask ourselves, are we fulfilling the Great Commission? Have we laid down our responsibility to share our faith to other people? Because it really comes down to not what the church is doing, is what you're doing. What are you doing to make a difference with the gospel of Jesus Christ? And I really think God is really speaking to us in our nation right now about that. Now, I know we all can be nervous and shy and fearful when it comes, you know, to sharing our faith. Like, no one wants to be looked, you know, no one wants to literally look like an idiot, or, you know, we don't want to go out there and do a really bad job, or, you know, shaking and, just doing a lot of weird things that people would say, like, that person, I don't know what they're sharing, but they're kind of strange or weird. We don't have to be worried about a lot of those things. I think what God wants to really tell us, be yourself. Just be who you are. Act your natural self. But just remember that when there's an opportunity, take it. I really think God is bringing us opportunities our way. And if we would just slow down enough to pay attention that, hold it, this person wants to talk to me. I better talk to them. And we talked about that in one of our seminars that we were doing here. We're so busy. We got so many things to do. And, we can go to a grocery store and just burn down all the aisles, burn out the thing and out. And there might be someone there that wants to talk to you. And maybe they have, and they said hello to you, and you just said, oh, hi, how are you? And you just kept on walking instead of stopping. Maybe there was something else that person wanted to talk to you about. Maybe that conversation could have went a little bit more. And it's just being sensitive to those kinds of things. And, we can start off with a simple invite to your home for a meal. We have Thanksgiving coming up. And, usually if you have a lot of family sometimes comes at this time, but there's also a lot of people out there that have no family. Look for some people. If your house isn't full, next week, why don't you look for somebody around your community or even in your own church for that matter, but that is all alone, and invite them to Thanksgiving. I know we've started doing that in our home and had nurses in her home. We have police officers in her home during some of those times of the year where people are off with other family, but they had to work, and so they weren't able to leave or they weren't able to travel. And so it can be something as simple as that, or having a coffee with somebody, or maybe just as simply we have those little cards in the back. You get talking about church, say, well, hey, I go to a church, and hey, here's a little card there. If sometime you would like to come, feel free. You're welcome. So it doesn't have to be this big gospel presentation. It just needs to be yourself, but looking for the opportunities that God might bring. Now, the disciples of Christ, they obviously struggled and allowed fear to rule them at times, just like us. It happens to us as well. And Jesus, I think, realizing all of that, not only did he say, I'm going to be with you. I almost think the next passage of scripture that lady referred to was found in Acts chapter 1, verse 8. Now, I almost think that this passage needs to be taken and almost put right like two verses behind the Great Commission, because it kind of explains with how am I going to do this Great Commission? Acts 1, verse 8. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you'll be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere, in Jerusalem, through Judea, Samaria, to the ends of the earth. I think sometimes our struggle with sharing our faith is just simply because we're doing it in our own strength. We're trying to do it in our own knowledge, and our own wisdom, and our own giftings, and all those things, which are good to use, of course. But there's an empowerment that can come from God. God wants to empower us that we might be able to share our faith. So there's an empowerment, a divine supernatural empowerment that comes from the Holy Spirit that can move inside of us and help us to share the gospel. It's a download from heaven of supernatural power and boldness. And that's something that we all need so that we can fulfill this great commission of sharing our faith. And that empowerment can touch us in many other ways as well, because it gives us boldness to speak. And for some of us, that's where our weakness is. Well, we're not a person that really talks a lot. Well, ask for that empowerment from God that gives you a boldness to speak, or gives you a boldness to live out your Christian faith, that gives us strength and confidence in who our God is. It gives us boldness to pray and believe what we're actually praying for. It can bring power in our lives, comfort in our lives, a sense of the presence of God in our lives, a conviction in our lives that when we're doing things that are wrong, that the Holy Spirit can convict us so that we would change our ways and get back in alignment with God. We don't want to be operating just in our own strength. We don't want to be doing anything in just our own strength. And sometimes that's what's happening to the church in Canada. We're doing a lot of things in our own strength, in our own abilities, in our own giftings, and we're missing the empowerment that comes from the Holy Spirit. I want to receive that power. I want to receive that power. I want to be more effective. And if we really want to be those things, then we need to be seeking that. You see, there's no shortcuts to the power. That's the problem. If you'd read this passage of Scripture, and you shall receive power, well, what were the disciples doing? Well, they were spending a lot of days seeking God all day long, all evening, and they were praying, they were seeking God, and there was only 120 left when God endowed them with power. There were thousands of Christians. What happened to them? What happened to all these followers? It kind of dwindled down to about 120 because other people just kind of stopped dropping off. Too long, can't be bothered, can't seek God. We really need to go back to seeking the Lord because there's no shortcuts to power. And as we seek the Lord, there will be an empowerment from the Holy Spirit that will come in our lives and will enable us to touch people in our towns, our cities, our communities, our regions, our province, and our nation. I'm wanting to be used of God more. I'm a pastor. I'm a shepherd. My job is to shepherd the people of God. My job is to shepherd you. I'm not to be got sheep. You're to be got sheep. However, I don't want to throw that responsibility just you. I want to be part of that harvest myself. And so I'm praying, God, help me to be more attentive, to be watching more, to have my eyes and my ears, and help me not to be in such a hurry all the time that I might stop and maybe talk with that person or talk with that individual and make time to share faith with the people that I see. And I've been really doing that. Everywhere I go now, I'm inviting people to church and talking to them about God. As soon as they find out I'm a minister, that's my door. That, okay, then they're going to expect this. And so I just jump in and away I go. But I really believe God is waiting for us to partner with him that we might reach our Jerusalem, our Judea, our Samaria, and our world. I close with a story I read in a book by Larry Gilbert. It's entitled Team Ministry, Gifted to Serve. And he related this story of this successful man who, looking back over his life, he pointed to one person that changed his life. And he shares this story. He said, many years ago when he was a youth, he was very athletic, a very strong swimmer, and one day he was out swimming by himself. And as he was swimming, a physical problem happened, whether it was a cramp or something happened, where suddenly he just couldn't swim. And he was trying to do all that he could do, but nothing was working, and he began to drown. And just as he felt he was going down for the last time, he suddenly felt a hand reach out and grasp him. And that hand brought him back to the surface and hauled him back to the shore. And he wasn't really in the condition to recognize the man or to say anything to the man. But that man stayed with him until, you know, he kind of got his marbles all back in line and sure that he was okay. And as the man was leaving, the youth said, you know, thank you for saving my life. You saved my life. And to which that man replied, you're welcome, son. See to it that you're worth saving. You know, when you think about that, as believers here today, we've been saved. We've been saved from the judgment of hell. God has brought peace in our life and joy in our life. He's brought forgiveness in our lives. He's brought a lot of changes in our life. He really has saved us. And maybe he might be saying to us, son or daughter, make sure you are worth saving. Because he looks at us that we are worth saving. He values us. He cares about us. We're important to him. But I still think that we have a job to do. There's all kinds of scriptures in the Bible that talks about us being servants, that we need to be faithful servants. We need to be doing those things that God has called us to do and being faithful to those things that God has called us to do. I want to be one of those people. I want to prove that I've been worth saving, that he didn't make a mistake when he came into my life and changed my life. It wasn't a mistake. It was for a purpose that's far greater than who I am. I want to be a good and faithful servant. I want to be a Christian that follows the Great Commission, that I will reach out to my fellow people of the world, that I will share that Jesus has changed my life. Jesus has made a difference in my life, and he can make a difference in your life too. I want to be a part of that. And so as we come to a weekend of Thanksgiving, it's a great time of year that we're reminded, give thanks. Give thanks. Well, part of the way you can give thanks is share about your Christianity. Share about your faith. Share about, you know what, it's Thanksgiving Sunday. You know what we're going to do? We're going to go to church. And then we're going to have a meal. And, you know, if your house isn't full, why don't you look for somebody? Why don't you ask God, God, who would be a person I should maybe invite to share a meal with me? It can be as simple as that. You don't have to give them a gospel presentation. You just have a meal. I remember we did that one year, and the person left in tears because we didn't know that that person had a dysfunctional family and didn't have family that would come together. And they enjoyed their time with us, but they began to weep as they were leaving because they weren't used to being with a family. Something so simple as a meal can change somebody's life. I just want to encourage you today as we close, would you be open to allow God to use you that you might be able to share your faith with somebody this week, and that we would just have that focus again, that focus would come back to the church in Canada, that we need to share our faith. We need to fulfill the Great Commission to go into all the world, share that gospel, tell people about Jesus, tell people that Christ can make a difference in your life. It's our individual responsibility. It's not just the church or the church building. It comes down to you and I. And let's do that, that we might see many people come in to the kingdom of God. That as we see a harvest that's going to come to this nation, that we'll be able to say, we were a part of it. We listened to the call. We began to share and we saw a response and we gathered the harvest. And just as it's coming in the natural, it can also come in the spiritual.